Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can, and producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
I look at the Baltimore Ravens right now, and they're starting to feel very similar to the Baltimore Ravens of a year ago. They're 8-4 right now. You would think this team should get into the postseason. Just like last year, you looked at the Ravens. You thought they should get into the postseason. But then down the stretch, they crumbled. And you also had a big injury last year to Lamar Jackson. Now Lamar Jackson is not likely to play this weekend and could be out anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks. You look at the schedule, it's not a daunting schedule. You play Pittsburgh this weekend, then you're in Cleveland, you have the Falcons, you have Pittsburgh again, and then you wrap the season out with the Cincinnati Bengals, who are the toughest team that you're going to face out of the five that I just mentioned. So since you're already spotted 8 wins, you would think, worst case scenario, they're able to find a way to get 2 wins here, get to 10, and just hope the tiebreakers go your way. But for the Baltimore Ravens, with the way that we view that organization, you know what the standard is in that organization. You know how well respected that organization is. If they're just a team that goes 10-7, they get 11 wins, maybe at most, and then they get in the playoffs and their apex is only winning one playoff game and then really not expecting much more after that, that's a failure of a season. That's a disappointing season, and that's not the Raven way. Because right now, it would not surprise me if the Ravens just walk into the playoffs, wild card weekend, and go home. And I look at this team, and I wonder where Lamar Jackson is at. Because if I'm Lamar Jackson, who you don't have a long-term deal done, and that whole process was just bizarre this offseason, and you still don't know who to blame, because at first it was he didn't want to get the deal done, and then when he wanted to get the deal done, the deal still didn't get done. So he can't be happy with the organization no matter what he says. What he tweeted out on social media during the draft over Marquise Hollywood Brown shows you that he's frustrated with the organization. And you kind of fast forward all these months later, if it's going to be a disappointing feel in the playoffs where you know what the national narrative is going to be, and I think it's ridiculous. Oh, Lamar can't win a Super Bowl. Lamar's not the guy to win a Super Bowl. And all the blame's going to go back on him. I don't think that's fair. But if I'm Lamar Jackson, I start to think a little bit about leaving the Baltimore Ravens, because you're going to get franchise tagged this summer. We know that. But that doesn't mean just because you get franchise tagged that a long-term deal can't get done. And even though they could franchise tag him again after that, I really do believe that if Lamar Jackson doesn't get a deal done, a long-term deal done with the Baltimore Ravens this offseason, I think that is the beginning to the end of Lamar Jackson's time with the Baltimore Ravens. Because if I'm Lamar, and I get from the outsider's view, you could say, oh, you have Harbaugh, you have Eric DaCosta, you have a great organization, they tailor the entire offense around you, all that stuff's great, but what does that really matter to Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson, you know when you watch him, he wants to win. And I wonder if he starts to question if he's being put in the best position to win in Baltimore. Because you see what the Dolphins did, they got Tua Tagovailoa, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle. You've seen what the Eagles did. They got Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith. Who is Lamar Jackson throwing the football to? I love Mark Andrews. But what receiver is Lamar Jackson throwing the football to? Because Rashad Bateman, they tried. Unfortunately, injuries is getting him off to a slow start in his career. Every offseason we say, who are the Ravens going to go get at a number one wide receiver spot? And they do nothing. And it would not surprise me whatsoever if Lamar's patience is wearing thin with an organization that we all perceive is a great organization. And I'm starting to think, and I've been saying this for a little bit of a year, that Lamar's frustrated with the team and he's unhappy with the team. I'm starting to think that Lamar's not going to play his entire career with the Baltimore Ravens. And then you start to pivot into, well, Zach, where is he going to go? And it's a very fair question, and they could get a deal done this offseason. Like, that's a possibility. Maybe with the back-to-back injuries, he says, I just want to get a deal done. I want the security right now. And then you get a deal done, and you figure out the problems down the road. But there's going to always be teams that are going to be in need of a quarterback. And I've known those two teams have gone at it throughout the years in Tennessee and the Ravens. And if you're trading Lamar Jackson, you probably don't want to trade him inside the AFC. But look at Tennessee. Tell me that wouldn't be a great fit. If the Titans could go out there with Derrick Henry, you go add a wide receiver, you have Mike Vrabel. He's going to be getting more and more control now with John Robinson out. I would love to see Lamar Jackson with the Tennessee Titans. If it has to be in the NFC, Ron Rivera, that's a good team. You got two good running backs, Antonio Gibson. You got Brian Robinson Jr. You got Terry McLaurin. You got Curtis Samuel. You got Jahan Dotson. You got a bunch of defensive players. They're a quarterback away. Look at the Giants. Anyone thinking Daniel Jones going to be there long term? No. You tell me Brian Daboll and Lamar Jackson couldn't create some magic? Absolutely they could. I threw this team out there in the summer. A lot of Ravens fans got mad at me. A lot of Minnesota Vikings fans were jumping for joy. Minnesota Vikings, I don't think that would happen this offseason. Remember, Kirk Cousins is under contract for another year. But if this is Lamar plays another season, and then after that one franchise tag, when you go to franchise tag number two, that's when the Ravens say, we don't trust or we don't think this guy's going to sign a long-term extension with us. We got to pivot. We got to trade him. Then maybe the Vikings become in play a year from now when Kirk Cousins is in the final year of his contract next season. What about Seattle? They have all the draft capital that they need after the Russell Wilson trade. Pete Carroll, we know he still wants to coach for a few more years. I know Geno Smith's playing good football, but if you're Lamar Jackson, you go team up with a coach like Pete Carroll. Not only that, you have DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Hello. That would be an attractive destination. And then it's inevitable, if Lamar Jackson became available, any team in the NFC South would be interested. Falcons are now going to Desmond Ridder. You know they'd be interested. The Saints would be interested. They don't have a quarterback. If Brady leaves, the Bucs will be interested. Carolina, they could be interested. I don't know what draft capital, though, they have left. But you look around and you see that NFC South. Are any of those destinations really attractive? All right, the Saints have Chris Olave, Alvin Kamara. Can't rely much on Michael Thomas. It's not like the weapons are bare there. Atlanta, you got Kyle Pitts. You got Drake London. Does that really move the needle for you a lot? You then look around and you just evaluate that entire division. Right? Maybe Tampa if Brady leaves, but that Tampa Bay team seems like it's being held together right now because of one man and one man only, and that's Tom Brady. So I think this conversation is a compelling one, and it's all predicated off one question. Does Lamar Jackson want to be with the Ravens long term? And I can't sit here and emphatically state on the 8th day of December in the year of 2022 that he does. Because the impression we got this offseason was that it was up to Lamar Jackson to get a deal done. And Lamar Jackson, they were waiting on him to say he wants to get a deal done. Then when he did, though, a deal still didn't get done. And last year I understood, two offseasons ago, why he didn't get a deal done. It made sense to wait to see what Josh Allen was going to get. It made sense to see if Baker Mayfield was going to get a contract extension. This offseason, I guess he wanted to wait to see what Kyler Murray was going to get. Now maybe you may be waiting to see what Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow get. I just wonder when Lamar Jackson wants to cash in with the Ravens. But the longer you wait, the more and more you will speculate that there is a legit shot that maybe he's okay with taking the franchise tag this year and taking another franchise tag after that and then walking away after that. But if you're the Ravens, you can't allow him to walk for nothing. So I really do believe this is the offseason where we'll determine, because I don't think the Ravens are going on some magical run. I think their ceiling is they'll make the playoffs, and I really have no expectations the rest of the way. But this offseason, if they don't get a deal done, I think then you need to start thinking, even if you're still optimistic a deal may get done after that, about moving on from Lamar. Because you can't let Lamar, who's been a unanimous MVP of this league, walk for nothing. So if he's back in the franchise tag this deal and you guys can't get a deal done, that next offseason, you got to look to trade him at a certain point if a deal doesn't get done. Because you can't allow Lamar Jackson to just walk into free agency and get a compensatory pick back. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hickey, where do you think the relationship is at right now with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens? Because even if they say everything's good and they want Lamar there for his entire career, he doesn't have that long-term contract. And the more and more this lingers out, the more and more likely it is that Lamar's not going to play his entire career with the Baltimore Ravens.
I wouldn't go with the word contentious right now. I would probably use the word confused or not on the same page.
It's a little passive aggressive.
Because like you go back to last year, whether you know it was their GM Eric DaCosta or their owner Steve Bisciotti basically saying, "Oh, you know, we're here. Lamar's want to talk," and then Lamar basically contradicting that a few months later at OTAs.
Well, how about just in the draft? Remember draft night when he was tweeting about all that stuff, and then it came out that he knew about this Marquise Hollywood weird. Brown trade was brewing. So he keeps on saying he's happy in Baltimore. And the Ravens keep on saying they want to get a deal done. But as this continues to go on, they don't get a deal done. And even if you say you're happy with the Baltimore Ravens, you're not really showing that on your social media.
And from the Ravens' perspective, the longer you wait, I mean, if they're, I don't know if they're apprehensive, but for whatever reason, the deal has not gone done, right? And the longer you wait with a guy like Lamar Jackson, he's only going to get older, more wear and tear in his body. And if you weren't, let's say, all in on Lamar at 23, I don't know if you're going to be all in on Lamar 26, you know? So it's like the longer they wait, the price is only going up. And if you were already hesitant before, I don't see how they're going to be all of a sudden now gung-ho on giving him a big deal when he's going to be older with more wear, you know, tread on his tires in a year or two and the price is going to be only higher.
I'll give you credit because this offseason you said, I wonder if they're lowballing him. And if that's the case, that the Ravens are lowballing him on an offer and it's not just your traditional negotiation tactics, like there's no progress in this, what gives you the reason, if you're Lamar, to just say, hey, guys, I just want to get a deal done and we'll get a deal done? Because you know if the Ravens don't pay him, regardless of the last 2 years have been filled with injuries, someone else will. Because we've seen quarterbacks a lot worse than Lamar Jackson get big deals and second opportunities. And you look at Lamar, when he's on the field, the guy plays really well. Guy's a good quarterback. We know that. So if you don't want to give him the deal, someone else will gladly trade for him with what he's done in this league before, and then will extend him to the lucrative price tag because you know it and I know it. In this league, you either have a quarterback or you don't. And there's a lot of teams that don't have that quarterback, and they'll do a lot of desperate things for a guy that they think could be the guy when you know Lamar Jackson is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL.
And a point discussed a lot when it comes to Lamar's contract is his lack of an age, right? His mom is his agent. I don't think it impacts him in terms of getting the money. I think where it impacts him in the relationship with the Ravens is those negotiations, how ugly they get.
Yeah.
I mean, the agent's there basically to just kind of, you know, be the peacemaker between the two. But you hear some bad things on both sides because the Ravens are trying to justify why Lamar's not worth, I don't know, $300 million or $250 guaranteed. And if you don't have that buffer and instead it's your mom or maybe even you in those negotiations hearing them saying that, you know, it's not supposed to be emotional, but it's also tough to kind of forget those words that are said in the heat of a negotiation when you're trying to find a price that works for both sides.
I don't want this to come off as tone deaf, and in no way am I comparing myself to Lamar Jackson, but one of the greatest things I've ever done in terms of for my professional and personal life is hiring an agent. Because there's so many conversations just in radio that goes on with management and the agent contractually related that it's so tough to put yourself in there when you don't have representation. And sometimes you may feel like, oh, I'm just giving money away to an agent and all that and all that. But those conversations and having someone take care of all those conversations, and then it allows me, when I'm talking to like Spike and everyone and any money comes up, you don't talk to me about that. You talk to my agent about that. It is so beneficial, I think, to have an agent because of what you just said, to deal with all those little things. And if you don't have someone to deal with all the little things, then who's dealing with them? It's on you and your mother. And that's why this process could be drawn out a little bit and could be taken forever. But here's the ultimate thing that we don't know. We don't know if Lamar wants to be a Raven, and I don't know what the Ravens offer is to Lamar Jackson. Would you agree with this? That if a deal doesn't get done this offseason, that the end is near for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and then next year will be his final year with the Ravens?
I'd agree with that, yeah.
Because from both sides, if you're Lamar and this is now 2 years and you don't get a deal done, it's like bleep them. And then on the other side, if you're the Ravens, you have an asset in Lamar Jackson. You can't run the risk of just franchise tagging him the second year and then letting him walk and getting nothing back other than a third round pick, a compensatory pick. Especially when Lamar's young too. You see some of these older quarterbacks that get traded. Easily, you could get 2 first-round picks just for starters for Lamar Jackson. When you get into those potential teams that I threw out there, who's the team that stands out to you and jumps off the page the most? I threw out Tennessee, the Commanders, the Giants, Minnesota, I would think would be a really good fit, but you never know because they have Kirk Cousins right there. The Seahawks, or I guess any of those teams in the NFC South will be lining up to go get Lamar.
I like the Buccaneers a lot. They have a really good infrastructure, and they, again, assuming Tom Brady leaves, they are a quarterback away still from being in contention in a bad division in a weaker conference.
Are they, though? Because that roster has taken a little bit of a hit. That defense has lost some players. It looks like that defense isn't playing as great. They're all banged up on the offensive line. If Brady leaves, who knows who stays? For whatever reasons, Brady and Evans aren't on the same page anymore. Chris Godwin, we know, is still a really good wide receiver. Is that roster still really that as good as what we think it is?
I think so. Yeah.
Run game, though, do you have? Nothing.
You bring in Lamar enhances that. And obviously, you need your offensive line. You don't think, you'd assume it'd be healthier next year than it is this year, which has just been decimated.
I just think that's an okay roster. I don't think that's a great roster anymore. But the two teams the three teams that I just look at right away that I think would be wonderful. Tennessee, you get Vrabel, big time quarterback. If I take the Vikings out of it just because they have Kirk right now, because I think that would be the most Madden-like type of offense, but Seattle and the Commanders also just jump out to me. I love these. If it has to be the NFC, the Seattle, the Commanders would be really fun. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Is the end near for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come on back, I think Hickey is about to say something positive about the Las Vegas Raiders ahead of their matchup tonight against the LA Rams. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Slick Reynolds on Twitter, who loves me but hates Hickey, he chimes in and he says, and this isn't an anti-Hickey tweet, one of the few tweets he sends out that is not anti-Hickey. How come you haven't mentioned my team, the Las Vegas Raiders? Lamar Jackson would look awesome in the silver and black. Can you see Lamar Jackson with the Las Vegas Raiders? Him and Davante Adams would be fun. Maybe have a bounce back year from Hunter Renfro. You know, I'll make one prediction about the Raiders. Even though they just inked Darren Waller to a long-term contract extension, that dead cap next year is only $8.9 million. Been in and out of the lineup this year with injuries. You heard some things this past offseason. Then he kind of debunked them when he joined us on the show live from the draft. I kind of get a sense. This is no sources. This is just a gut feeling. I kind of get a sense that Darren Waller is going to get traded this offseason. Hickey. I think that they will get a draft pick back for him. There will be a team that is on the cusp of maybe contending for a title that needs a tight end that will give up, I don't know, like a second-round pick for him, maybe with some conditions on it. It could turn into a first-round pick. Who knows? That whole Darren Waller situation this year, something just seems a little bit off.
It's interesting. I think I would still like the talent. I think he fits well into that offense.
He's 31, by the way.
Yeah, but the thing I guess I'll say
about
that is,
it would feel very much like when Jimmy Graham got traded.
He's not like a true football age, though, 31.
That's true.
Because he got late to the game, has not played a lot, so it's like,
with all that he overcame.
Right, so it's not like he's a normal 31-year-old football player with 10 years of wear and tear on his body.
Okay. No, you're not wrong. I don't know why. Something seems bizarre with the Raiders in that. Do you think the Raiders, though, Hickey, would be a fit for Lamar Jackson?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's hard to say, you know, I think it's easier to say what teams wouldn't be a fit for Lamar. I mean, you have a very talented quarterback, a guy who, again, maybe other than 8 to 10 teams, you know, would take their quarterback, you know, take him over their current quarterback. Yeah, I think you have two really solid weapons on the outside in terms of Davante Adams and Hunter Renfrow is a great slot, you know, weapon. You have, if Darren Waller is there, you know, you see Mark Andrews's, you know, volume of targets from Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore offense, he would fit well in the Vegas offense. If you keep Josh Jacobs, it's a good offense. It fits really well with Lamar, and the offensive line concerns could be eased a little bit when you have a guy who's so mobile and you know, so hard to bring down on Lamar.
855-212-4CBS. If Lamar Jackson could be getting traded this offseason or the offseason after that, if they don't get a deal done with the Ravens, we just don't know how happy he is with the organization. We don't know why a deal isn't getting done right now. We're starting to brainstorm some potential destinations for Lamar Jackson. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4CBS. We start things off with Ross in Alabama, first up on the Zach Gelb Show. Ross?
How's it going, man?
Doing great. What do you got?
Hey, okay, so here's my only thing about if Lamar stays at the Ravens, which as a Pittsburgh fan, I hope that he doesn't. But I'm also a Vikings fan, and so I loved your comment about him possibly going there because the dealing with Kirk Cousins being great until he needs to be great is really overwhelming over the past few years. But I go back to when Joe Flacco and the Ravens won the Super Bowl, and Joe Flacco had to get that $100 million contract. And when he did, it basically crippled their team because it didn't allow them to re-sign other people. And that's the only thing that I worry about as a football fan if Lamar signs with the Ravens. You made the comment saying basically he doesn't have weapons around him right now. Well, if they ink him to a big deal, I don't believe that they'd have the money to be able to go out and sign or get players that can go around him to complement him in a way.
So now, yes and no, Ross, fan, like you're not wrong in terms of your theory and your thought, but how many times each and every year do we hear about the salary cap of the NFL? How is this team going to get under the cap? Then they go out there, they make a big move, and they always find a way to move around the numbers.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true. Realistically, as far as him going to other teams, you can rule out the AFC North. There's no way in hell.
Well, yeah, obviously. They would never trade him inside the division. And also, now, you look at the division, who would be the team interested? The Browns just got Watson. The Bengals have Joe Burrow. And you know they're not trading him to the Steelers. And I know they just drafted Kenny Pickett.
Ding, ding, ding. I love Kenny Pickett, but I'd take Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but if the Ravens are trading him, there's no way they're trading him in the division. Maybe in the conference, but no way in the division.
And see, that's where I was going to where if I said in the conference, if they were going to do it in the conference, Tennessee makes sense.
It does.
The Raiders make sense because of what you said, and you got to think for a caliber of his style player, you have to have him in the right fit, and he has to have people that can complement him around him because he's a runner, he likes to pass, but if he gets to the point where he doesn't get his touches, he's going to start getting mad.
Well, that's like the thing, Austin, and thanks for the phone call. You have to tail the offense around Lamar Jackson. That's what a lot of great quarterbacks demand you to do. And for Lamar, he's such a unique skill set, and we've seen the Ravens tail the entire offense around him, but they've just ignored the wide receiving position. And remember, I think it was Eric DaCosta who came out and said it, we're not going to go get your traditional wide receiver, your number one wide receiver, and if you're a diva and all you care about is your targets, it's not the place for us. Well, that's one thing when your general manager says that 2 years ago. It's different with what your star quarterback wants, because I think Lamar wants to throw the football a little bit more. And don't get me wrong, running is such a big part of his game, but every year when all these wide receivers are made available and you don't have a legit number one target outside of Mark Andrews at a tight end, it would be just natural for the quarterback to be looking around and saying, oh, look what this guy has, look what that guy has, and I don't have those pieces. Let's go to Ron in Michigan next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Ron, what do you say?
Hey, man, appreciate you taking my call. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. Appreciate it. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at you know, I may be drinking the Honolulu Blue juice right now, but the Lions, they've got an excellent offensive line. Goff's had a good year. I mean, we've got two high draft picks potentially this fall that we could go defense and build around, you know, and not have to take that young quarterback. I do like the idea of getting somebody like a young quarterback on the cheap, though, for 5 years. It's just hit or miss on them. When you got Lamar out there, who Goff could get us by in the next 2 years, just like Lamar. And then, have to back up the Brinks truck. I don't like the idea of paying anybody $500 million.
But that's the nature of the sport.
You
got to go give a quarterback, if you have a franchise guy, bare minimum $40-something million dollars a year. If you would have called me this offseason and suggested the Lions, I would have laughed you off the show. But you look at this Lions roster, I'm not saying that they're going to be great for the foreseeable future, but they do have some young pieces there. Now, I don't know if Lamar would want to go to the Detroit Lions, and that's a conversation that he would have to entertain, well, not with his agent because he doesn't have one, but he'd have to entertain with his mom and the people making that decision and then talk to the Ravens, because you're not going to trade for Lamar unless you know he's going to sign with you long term. And you look at that Lions team, we'll see what happens with Jameson Williams now getting back into the fold. They have Amon-Ra St. Brown. DeAndre Swift's a good young running back in this league. Jamal Williams is a good player. You have some good piece on the offensive line. They drafted Penei Sewell 2 years ago. We'll see what that defense turns out to be. You have Aiden Hutchinson. You got some young pieces there, and you're in a division. I don't know what the long-term future is of the Bears. I don't know what the long-term future is of the Packers. Vikings having a good year this year, how sustainable it is. Maybe Detroit is starting to get their act together. And, yeah, Jared Goff's had a good season, but in a second I would upgrade and move on from Jared Goff for Lamar Jackson. I just don't know if Lamar wants to go there. Let's go to Anthony in Arizona next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Ant, what's happening?
I would say, first of all, big fan, listen to you every day.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Second of all, I think Tennessee would be the spot, especially since they're about to have a new general manager. If he could get something like that done, I think that's a good way for him to make a splash. I don't know if they've named a new general manager or not yet, but I think that team's pretty much built for him. Imagine like double or triple option with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. I mean, crazy stuff.
It would be wild if you team up Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. You'd have to go get another wide receiver in there. Maybe Treylon Burks could be that guy. But I think a lot of people would want to go join that team, especially with the way Vrabel coaches, and you have two just explosive playmakers with Henry and Jackson. That would be something.
Definitely. And then the other option I would say that I don't think gets talked about enough is possibly the Jets. I know that they're kind of having their own little controversy. You know, that would pretty much settle the controversy, in my opinion. But I don't know how many draft picks or anything like that the Jets actually have to, like, try to get Lamar Jackson.
Oh, they have the capital. They could go get him. I'll tell you that, Anthony. But the Jets, Hickey, I didn't even think about that one. Bright lights of New York. You'll see what Breece Hall is coming back from the injury, but he was in line to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. You have Garrett Wilson. You got Elijah Moore. You're building that offensive line. I know Elijah Vera Tucker's out for the year. And you got a really good defense. Yeah, if I'm the Jets, I'd be all in. But once again, does Lamar want to go to the Jets? Because even though the Jets look like they sort of turned things around, and we say the same thing about the Lions, they still have that stench around them. And I wonder if a guy like Lamar is ready to look past that and just look at what the current state of the franchise is.
I mean, if you're Lamar and you're not maybe, let's say, feeling the love that you want to from the Ravens, you go to the Jets. You will be
Lamar
praised and heralded as a savior.
But if I'm him and it's about winning, I'd rather go to the NFC. Because, like, just look inside that AFC East. You got to deal with Josh Allen. You got to deal with Tua Tagovailoa right now with the Dolphins. You look at the rest of that AFC. You got Mahomes. You got Herbert. You have inside that AFC North right now, as he knows, Burrow and Watson. If I'm him, I'm seeing a lot of young, solidified quarterbacks in the AFC. I look at the NFC. You got Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts playing great. Dak Prescott's been good. But there's no one that's like in your way right now in the NFC with Brady getting older, Rodgers not playing well this year, that really makes you say, okay, I can't go dominate that conference for the next 5 to 7 years.
And the NFC, right, if you Super Bowl, absolutely. The NFC is
the path.
You're
going to be the face of the NFC conference.
But you look around the NFL, like, again, probably 20 teams at least that would be interested in, and I think would be a good fit in.
Let's go to Brian. We'll take one more before the break. Brian in Michigan next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Brian?
Yeah, I'm still on the Lions, man. I mean, you think about it. You were just talking about showing the love.
Well, Brian, your phone call, your phone connection sucks, so we're going to have to let you go. It's all right. But he said the Lions. You already hear right away. We open up that topic right away. Two Lamar Jackson to the Lions calls. You know what that's showing me? Lions fans, and I respect it, they're feeling themselves right now. They're getting a little confident, and they're starting to dream big. And that's what you should do. You shouldn't be like Hickey when he's a football fan, where you're just fine with being okay, fine with being good. You want to reach for the stars. And Lions fans, who've been down and out for a long time, they got a little win streak going, and right away, they're reaching for the stars. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will talk about the Las Vegas Raiders game tonight against the LA Rams. What's the future of Josh McDaniels and one Derek Carr with the Raiders? We get into that on the other side.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The man that Hot Take Hickey claimed was going to be a top five quarterback this year in the NFC could actually be starting tonight for the Los Angeles Rams. Now, he's not a top five quarterback in the NFC. That's been proven this year, and it was another great hot take by the hot take artist himself, one Hot Take Hickey. But Gary Klein, who covers the Rams for the LA Times, he is saying that Baker Mayfield is taking all the snaps during early warmups as we get set for Rams and Raiders coming your way in the 8 p.m. Eastern time hour. Hickey, Baker Mania, it's back. How's he going to know any of the plays?
That's like, again, if you are...
You know what? I think maybe there was an agreement. I don't want to say an agreement. I think maybe Sean McVay got on the phone and was like, Baker, your career's in shambles right now. You're the third string quarterback behind Sam Darnold and PJ Walker. I don't have a quarterback right now because Stafford's out for the season. I got to play 1 week Bryce Perkins, the next week John Wolford. Baker, I'm just going to send you our playbook. Just going to send you the playbook, get a custom, and then maybe we'll devise up a plan to orchestrate a release. And he went to the Panthers. I want out. Okay, we'll give you your release. We'll put you on waivers. We'll jump in. We'll claim you. And maybe, just maybe, Hickey, Baker Mayfield got a little bit of a head start. Maybe Sean McVay was playing a little bit dirty the last week or so. Thoughts on that?
Zero shot.
Why? What do you mean zero shot?
Zero chance. You know how secretive these coaches are? You know how...
Dude, what does it matter if Baker Mayfield has your playbook?
Because what if it gets out and all of a sudden everyone has the Sean McVay playbook? You know how crazy and paranoid these coaches are? Where they think everyone's spying on them.
He knew he was going to get him. He was fourth in the waiver order. If well, he wanted him, he was going to get him.
What if you don't get
him?
But it's a risk.
Stop.
I don't think there's any way you would actually risk the playbook
out there. You don't know how to play dirty.
With a guy that won't even be on your roster.
He knew he was going to get him. He knew it. Fourth in the waiver order.
Yeah, what if someone else claimed him?
Oh, come on.
You can't control who's going to claim and who's not. He's a free asset.
Why would any of those other teams want to claim Baker Mayfield?
This guy has $1 million on his contract. Maybe say, oh, what the hell? Four games, or see, give it a whirl. See what happens.
He sent him some plays, I'm telling you. There's no way this guy, and I'm not saying he's starting tonight, but if he's taking all the snaps and warm-ups, there's no way he didn't have some prior knowledge of the playbook. He got claimed, what, 48 hours ago?
Even if you're right, and let's say he's got a weak head start, we're still talking about a guy, at best case, if he got something, got the playbook before while he was still on the Panthers, you're talking about a guy who, again, best case scenario, is going to have a week to learn the playbook?
I said this the other day, and I'll say it again. I thought he would play like 10 plays or something tonight, where you would script a drive for him, or... You would be like inside the red zone, and then you would just throw him in off the bench and have a few plays for him. That's what I thought. And maybe this is, I don't know, who are you fooling tonight? Like, what's the purpose of giving him all the snaps and pregame warmups if you don't plan on playing him? Like, what are you trying to do? Put him out there so the Raiders, who are a 5-7 team, have to shake in their boots and maybe have to be concerned about Baker Mayfield getting onto the field? Like, the last time this guy's been on the field, he's been a bad quarterback. So, is there anything to gain here for the Rams in giving him all the snaps and pregame warmups? Because, like, that kind of suggests that maybe he's not starting, but he's going to play a significant amount tonight or play pretty damn early, you would think. Maybe he is starting. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either. But, again, it goes back to the stupid games that some of these coaches play where it's like, oh, maybe now we'll trick the Raiders and I think he's going to start, but really they know all along John Wolford's going to play.
Well, if that's the case, Sean McVay's pathetic now.
And we doesn't, you can't be doesn't
the coach,
matter.
You can't be the coach of a 3-9 team and be playing these games. Like, when coaches play those games in college, it's always a big program. Then when you have the coach of whatever university that no one really cares about playing those games, it's like, dude, get real. Like, I love my alma mater, Temple. when Jeff Collins created that above the line chart nonsense where anyone that had a chance to start in the game would be above the line and that was your depth chart, I killed it because it's stupid. You can't come up with something that is that stupid and be the head coach at Temple. Like, you got to be the head coach of, I don't know, USC or Michigan or Ohio State to be playing those types of games. Now, I know McVay just won a Super Bowl, but in the present day, he is 3-9 as a head football coach this year. You can't be playing these mind games before the game over Baker Mayfield.
What else do you know? The coaches don't coach to the record. They coach to win every single game. So, you know, they're 3-9. I don't think Sean McVay right now is
treating,
like, basically mailing it in the rest of the year.
He understands the image this looks when you do something like that. Who's starting tonight? First snap for the Rams, running out to the field at two. Who is it? Who's running out to the field tonight? Rams and Raiders, if you had to make a bet on it right now, hot take, Icky. Isn't good on the radio.
This is really tough. I guess I'll go Baker Mayfield. I don't think John Wolford's going to be healthy enough.
Do you think Sean McVay does the old, all right, Baker Mayfield runs out, and then it's up, psych, and then you send in Perkins or whoever it is, Wolford?
I don't think so.
You think it's going
to
be Baker?
Trying to get him the actual work, because also he needs the work.
Yeah. There would be a lot of running in this game tonight, then. That would be my thought.
Hammer the under. At least for the Rams.
No, the Raiders could score a lot of points.
Just at least for the Rams.
By the way, a few people approached me today in the office. And they said, Hickey hates McDaniels. And I go, yeah, I know that. And they go, oh, no. That's not why we're talking to you. There's been some talks in the office that you're starting to feel a little bit optimistic about this Raiders team, a team that you can't stand. They're sitting at 5-7. And people are starting to worry that you're getting a little bit concerned about this Raiders team, that they actually may be starting to get their act together. I just heard rumors. That's what people bring to me, so I just want to confront you.
Optimism with the Raiders?
Yeah.
No. No way.
I don't know.
No way.
A lot of people in the office come up to me today, and they're saying, Hickey's talking about the Raiders crushing the Rams tonight, then beating the Patriots the week after that, and then getting in at 7-7 for the final three games of the season.
And they have a chance. Yeah, they have a chance to get to 7-7. They should get to 7-7, frankly.
Should? I don't know if they should do anything this year. They should beat the Rams. I'm not ready to say that it's a lock that they beat the Patriots. Remember who still coaches the Patriots, that Belichick fella. Where if you listen to Shep here on CBS Sports Radio, Belichick is nothing. Did you hear about that? Oh, well, we talked about it a little bit last night, right?
With Marco Belletti, because Marco was one who kind of tried to shoot him down.
Marco is annoyed at Shep. So for people that don't know what we're talking about, I guess Shep was filling in for JR and the JR Sport Brief, and he led the show basically saying Belichick is nothing without Brady. Nothing. You know, gave him no credit for the early years of Tom Brady, gave him no credit for the job he did as a defensive coordinator with the New York Giants. Shep, just get on the radio, big boisterous takes, trying to take down Bill Belichick. And our guy, Marco Belletti, the captain, el capitan of CBS Sports Radio, stood up to Shep and basically just put him in a body bag verbally. He put him in a body bag with the arguments that he threw back at Shep. I went back and listened to that segment. Very compelling radio. Marco 1, Shep 0, Hickey.
That's it? You only get him 1 point? Figured to give him 3, 4, 5,
no,
6
like
points.
On the scoreboard. Like
that's what I'm saying.
He wins one game. Like, well, if you win 45-0 in a game, it's still just one win. That's what it was. Fine. One win by knockout in the first 30 seconds. Is that good in the first round?
That works.
Is that fine
just
by your scoring standards?
Not even a
standards?
Real fight. Just boom, boom, boom. Shep couldn't even throw a punch.
But all kidding aside, what do you think the Raiders will finish at? Their final five games, Rams, Patriots, Steelers, 49ers, and Chiefs. Right now, they're 5-7.
I'll say 7-10. I think two more wins. Probably win tonight. I could see them beating the Patriots. I could also see them losing to the Steelers. So like, I don't think, you know, if you want to mix and match, I think out of those stretch, definitely two should get 2 wins.
I know this was a 10-7 team last year. And I know they got better on paper this offseason. Defense still has a lot of problems. The offensive line stinks. If they could go find a way to salvage this year and win 3 out of these last 5 games and get to 8-9, I think this goes from Raiders disaster, where it was a few weeks ago, where it's fired McDaniels, to, okay, you bring the intrigue back. Where next year we all know Josh McDaniels, A, is going to be back, and B, his seat's going to be on fire. But I feel like the temperature just gets dropped down a little bit on the hot seat, and maybe there starts to become some buy-in that there's a redemption story here for Josh McDaniels. Now, I still got to see him put those wins on the table. I still got to see him going out there and execute. But if you could find a way to win three out of the final five games this year and you go into this offseason and you patch up that line, you bring in some defensive pieces, I get a little bit intrigued. I circle back in the Raiders and go, maybe they're not as far off as the way that people were talking about them 4 or 5 weeks ago. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll break when we come on back. Heisman Trophy finalists are in New York City. Hickey and I are going to one of the media events tomorrow. All four of the Heisman Trophy finalists are quarterbacks. Who's the best non-quarterback in college football from this past season? We discuss next.